love be genuine. Hate what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. Love one another with mutual affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Do not lag in zeal, be ardent in spirit. Serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in suffering. Persevere in prayer. Who are you? And why have you come to this place?
We are disciples of Jesus, the Messiah.
But this man Jesus has been arrested.
Yes, that is so. This is not how our days in Jerusalem were to be. All of us, the followers of Jesus, had hoped that our master would preach the message to the peoples of the city, as he had done in Tyre and Sidon. But now he has been taken away to be judged before Caiaphas. I fear that no good will come of all of this, that nothing will ever be the way. There is talk in the streets that one of you has betrayed your master, and the rumors go on to accuse one of your group of denying your rabbi. Are these accusations true? Yes,
our brother Judas has betrayed Jesus and aided the priests of the temple in his arrest. Our brother Peter followed the priests and the guards as they took Jesus away. As he was below in the courtyard, one of the servant girls of the high priest came, and when she saw Peter warming himself, she looked at him and said, "You also were with Jesus of Nazareth." But he denied it, saying, "I neither know nor understand what you are saying." And he went out on the porch, and a rooster crowed. And the servant girl saw him again, and began to say to those who stood by, "This is one of them." But he denied it. But surely this man, Peter, has the strength of his faith.
Our fear of being arrested and scourged
subdued our faith. And for Peter, his fear was very great. For later, those who stood by said to Peter again, "Surely you are one of them, for you are a Galilean, and your speech shows it." Then he began to curse and swear, "I do not know this man of whom you speak." Second time, the rooster crowed. Then Peter called to mind the words that Jesus had said to him, "Before the rooster crows twice, you will deny me three times." It would seem that with the arrest of your rabbi and these betrayals by his most trusted and loyal disciples, that you are all now in the depths of fear and despair. I see only hopelessness and distress for the followers of this Nazarene. Out of the depths we cry to our Lord, our God, to send us the grace that our spirits need. For without God's blessing, we are nothing.
who had arrested Jesus took him to Caiaphas the high priest, in whose house the scribes and elders had gathered. Now the chief priests and the whole council were looking for false testimony against Jesus, so that they might put him to death. But they found none, though many false witnesses came forward. At last, two came forward and said, "This fellow said, 'I am able to destroy the temple of God and to build it in 3 days.'" The high priest stood up and said, "Have you no answer? What is it that they testify against you?" But Jesus was silent. Then the high priest said to him, "I put you under oath before the living God. Tell us if you are the Messiah, the Son of God." Jesus said to him, "You have said so, but I tell you, from now on you will see the Son of Man seated at the right hand of power and coming on the clouds of heaven." And the high priest tore his clothes and said, "He has blasphemed. Why do we still need witnesses? You have now heard his blasphemy. What is your verdict?" They answered, "He deserves death." She hears, upon that water without a sound, a voice that cries, "The tomb in Palestine is not the porch of spirits lingering. It is the grave of Jesus where he lay." Sweet berries ripen in the wilderness, and in the isolation of the sky at evening, casual flocks of pigeons make ambiguous undulations. They sink downward to darkness on extended wings.
Then they took Jesus from Caiaphas to Pilate's headquarters. It was early in the morning, and they themselves did not enter the headquarters as to avoid ritual defilement and to be able to eat the Passover. So Pilate went out to them and said, "What accusation do you bring against this man?" And they answered, "If this man were not a criminal, we would not have handed him over to you." And Pilate said to them, "Take him yourselves, judge him according to your law." And the Jews replied, "We are not permitted to put anyone to death." And this was to fulfill what Jesus had said when he indicated the kind of death that he would die. When Pilate entered the headquarters again, summoned Jesus and asked him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" Jesus answered, "Do you ask this on your own, or did others tell you about me?" And Pilate replied, "I am not a Jew, am I? Your own nation and chief priests have handed you over to me. What have you done?" Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not from this world. If my kingdom were from this world, my followers would be fighting to keep me from being handed over to the Jews. But as it is, my kingdom is not from here." Pilate asked him, "So you are a king?" And Jesus answered, "You say that I am a king. For this I was born. For this I came into the world, to testify to the truth. Everyone who belongs to the truth listens to my voice." And Pilate asked him, "What is truth?"
Let us lift up our hearts in prayer. Christ Jesus, you hung upon the cross.
and died for us, so that we might live for you. Your body was broken, and your blood shed, so that we might be healed and made whole. You were faithful unto death, so that we might be faithful unto life. Your last command is that we might love one another, one family together, from every tribe and nation, a new creation, united through your sacrifice, redeemed by your blood, healed by your love, united by your covenant of peace. In your death, may we find love.
And after a time when the disciples of Jesus were gathered all together, that Peter asked of Jesus, "Rabbi, when we pray to God, what word should we say, and how should we conduct ourselves?" And Jesus answered, "When you pray to our Heavenly Father, say these words:
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen."
I am the feeble voice of the old man who has lived many years and has precious few left to live. I am the voice of young women whispering to her companions about the boy to whom she has been pledged to marry. And I am the tired and weary voice of the parent who has labored long in the fields and struggles to remain awake to talk with the children. I have heard the stories of miracles and marvels performed by the prophet Jesus, as told by the zealots who speak of nothing else but this rabbi. At first, I did not know what to make of this carpenter from Nazareth. Peasants and the unschooled servants can be forgiven for their foolish-headed following of every self-proclaimed prophet who parades through the gates and marches in empty triumphant along the streets and pavement. But there seems to be something different about this man. It is true that he did do violence in the temple when he upset the tables of the money changers, and he did threaten the purveyors selling animals for sacrifice. And some have said that his words and his actions imply that he believes he is more holy and more revered by God than the chief priests and elders of the temple. I have lived long enough to be on guard to false saviors. The son of a goat herder or the son of a carpenter awakes from a troubled sleep one day and suddenly believes that he is the chosen one, the Messiah, whose coming is foretold in the ancient writings. But I say again, this man is different. I stood nearby when Jesus entered Jerusalem through the towering gates that led to the broad pavements that were lined with a sea of people, all shouting, all praising his name, all seeking his blessing. As I moved along with the crowd, I found myself consumed by all that was taking place. As the day gave way to night, I sought him out and spoke with him for some time. I had many questions. Jesus listened and spoke to me as if we had been children together, as if we had been brethren all of our lives. I was struck by the revelation of how my life had been forever changed by my communion with this man. The next day, I again went to speak with him. In but a brief time, Jesus taught me many lessons: the lesson of humility, the lesson of charity, lesson of faith, faith in knowing that God loves all of us and cares for all of us, that God is with us always, even until the close of the age. When I left Jesus, I was full to overflowing with hope. My great hope was that this man was the Messiah whose coming was foretold. My great hope was that his teachings and his preaching would spread across the lands and bring those lessons of humility and charity and faith to all peoples. My great hope was that the kingdom of God would be upon all the lands and the grace of God would be granted to all peoples. I have heard that Jesus has been arrested and that he may be imprisoned and tortured for his teachings. But I still have hope, for it is my belief that to truly love means loving the unlovable. To forgive means pardoning the unpardonable. Faith means believing the unbelievable. Hope means hoping when everything seems hopeless.
Within that Syrian garden, angels slain you sleep, and know not you are dead in vain, nor even in dreams behold how dark and bright ascends in smoke and fire by day and night. But if the grave rent and the stone rolled by at the right hand of majesty on high, you sit, and sitting, so remember yet your tears, your agony, and bloody sweat.
Your cross, compassion, and the life you gave, bow hither out of heaven, and see.
Pilate then called together the chief priests, the leaders, and the people, and said to them, "You brought this man as one who was perverting the people. And here I have examined him in your presence and have not found this man guilty of any of your charges against him. Neither has Herod, for he sent him back to us. Indeed, he has done nothing to deserve death. I will therefore have him flogged and release him." And then they all shouted out together, "Away with this man! Release Barabbas for us." This was the man who had been put in prison for an insurrection that had taken place in the city and for murder. Pilate, wanting to release Jesus, addressed them again. But they kept shouting, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" And a third time, he said to them, "Why? What evil has he done? I have found in him no ground for the sentence of death. I will have him therefore flogged and then release him." But they kept urgently demanding with loud shouts, "He should be crucified." And their voices prevailed. So Pilate gave his verdict that their demands should be granted. He released the man that they asked for, the one who had been put in prison for insurrection and murder. And he handed Jesus over, just as they wished.
I am the loving voice that you hear when you take your last breath of life. And I am the joyful voice that you hear when you take your first breath as you are born into this life. I am the familiar voice of your neighbor as you worship in the temple. For we are the chosen ones. Jesus has said it. We are his brethren, and as such, must be the most loyal and most devoted followers. But to betray the master for a purse of coins and to hand him over to the temple guards is an act so evil as to make the very stones weep with sorrow. The powers of darkness and treachery must surely be guided by Satan. For just as he has tempted Jesus in the wilderness, now he seeks to destroy our Savior, for it must be true that Satan has taken hold of Judas and set him on this path of betrayal. Jesus has promised that those who follow him and abide by his teachings will live forever in paradise. Jesus has promised that the meek shall inherit the earth, and that the pure in heart will see God. Jesus has promised that those who are persecuted because of righteousness be welcomed into the kingdom of heaven. Jesus has promised that when his followers are insulted, persecuted, and falsely accused of all manner of evil because of our faith in him, that we should rejoice and be glad, because great is our reward in heaven. Words, they are all just words. Promises can be made with little effort and may sound pleasing to the ear. But what is their value if they do not come with actions to make their fulfillment? If I go to the house of my neighbor, whose husband has been robbed and killed by thieves, and I say, "Do not be sorrowful, good woman, for take heart that those who are your kin and brethren will see to your needs and will punish those who have done this cruel and heinous act that has left you a widow. And as your neighbor and your friend, this justice I promise you." And then I go to my house and do nothing, then I have spoken empty promises. It is easy to promise, as it is easy to drink a cup of wine. But it is a hard thing to keep a promise, as it is hard work to grow and press the grapes and hew the cask and keep the wine until it is ready to drink. I have come to love Jesus as my brother and to respect him as my teacher. But to take in all that has happened and to cast forward as to what will happen, I fear that Jesus will be turned out as yet another self-appointed prophet who believes that God whispers to him in his dreams. For a time, I believed that Jesus stands in God's favor. But now my eyes have been opened by all that has come to pass. My faith has been tested, and I am not sure what to do or where to go. I cannot abandon my faith in God. I will find strength in prayer, for I have been driven many times upon my knees by the overwhelming conviction that I had nowhere else to go. My own wisdom and that of all about me seemed insufficient for that day, and today is such a day. For if this man is indeed the Son of God, and we are the instrument of his torture and his death, then we have no other path to forgiveness, only prayer.
Thank you.
and it was now about noon. And the darkness came over the whole land until 3 in the afternoon. While the sun's light failed, and the curtain of the temple was torn in two, then Jesus, crying with a loud voice, said, "Father, into your hands I commend my spirit." And having said this, he breathed his last. When the centurion saw what had taken place, he praised God and said, "Certainly this man was innocent." And when all the crowds who had gathered there for this spectacle saw what had taken place, they returned home, beating their breasts. But all his acquaintances, including the women who had followed him from Galilee, stood at a distance, watching these things.
I am the voice of the man who is outcast because of his family lineage. I am the voice of the woman who is scorned because of rumors about my sinfulness. I am the voice of the Gentile who is condemned as godless and wicked. As I make my way about the city, going to market or fetching water from the public well, the peoples will cross to the other side of the path to keep from having to look me in the face, or worse than that, to have to speak with me. My family and I could be no more hated and despised by my neighbors than if I was the Roman prefect. So it was a true revelation when the rabbi, Jesus of Nazareth, did share a meal at my house. Oh, I did hear the mutterings of the self-righteous who spoke against Jesus, saying, "He has gone to be a guest of the sinner." Are we the only sinner in this village? Where is the sin in giving half of my possessions to the poor and lame? When Jesus asked of us, "Why do these people chastise you so?" I said to Jesus that I am scorned because I am different. Then Jesus asked, "Have you ever cheated any of your neighbors?" I replied, saying, "If I had cheated anyone out of anything, I will pay back 4 times the amount." I truly believe that Jesus could see the truthfulness in my eyes and heard the honesty in my voice. For he turned to his disciples, saying, "Today salvation has come to this house, because this man also is the son of Abraham." At that moment, my heart was filled with joy, and my soul was renewed and strengthened. What had only been sadness and despair became hope and joyfulness. I embraced the message of love and salvation that Jesus preached that day. I believed the message spoken by this man would cast aside the hatred and contempt that had been cast upon me like heavy stones. But now this fine and decent man of faith has been arrested. Perhaps it is true that the goodness of love and compassion is no match for the power of evil and jealousy. Jesus will not be able to escape from his captors, and the mobs in the streets clamor for his death. He is defamed as a false prophet and a charlatan. The priests and the elders in the temple are frightened by this rabbi. It is my belief that they are fearful of Jesus not because they believe him to be a fake. They fear him because they believe he might indeed be the Messiah, and that truth would strip them of their power over the people and deny them the privileges they enjoy. I fear that no good will come of this arrest. As I consider all the evil forces that are aligned against this man, I find that I must struggle to place all my faith in the Lord. For it is easy to praise and love God when all is well. But when you spend your days in despair and you see darkness all around, it is a hard thing to sing a song of praise to God. Where is God now? Why does he not save this good and righteous man who preaches of God's love and charity? And why does not God cleanse my soul of this sorrow and tribulation and bring happiness and joy to my heart?
Now there was a good and righteous man named Joseph, who, though a member of the council, had not agreed to their plan and action. He came from the Jewish town of Arimathea, and he was waiting expectantly for the kingdom of God. This man went to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. Then he took it down, wrapped it in a linen cloth, and laid it in a rock-hewn tomb, where no one had ever been laid. It was the day of preparation, and Sabbath was beginning. The women who had come with him from Galilee followed, and they saw the tomb and how his body was laid.
Thank you.
As this day comes to an end, so also does our service. The bleakest hour of the darkest day is upon us, and despair and sorrow are all around us. The light of the world has been extinguished. The Lamb of God has been sacrificed.
Yes, that is true. The occurrences that we have feared have come to pass, and we shall look unto the earth and behold trial and tribulation, dimness of anguish, and we shall be driven into darkness. We are standing on the God has abandoned us and taken our Savior from us. We will leave this place, but we do not know where we are going, for we have truly lost our way.
And having said this, he breathed out his last.